paid for to Christ's account, and so God declares you're justified, just as though you've lived a perfect life, just as though you never sinned. You are declared righteous. But there's also the unjustified. Who is that? The wicked in this verse. And both of them have something in common. One of the men tell me in this verse what both the justified or the saved and the unsaved in Proverbs 24:16, what do they have in common? Raise your hand if you know what they have in common. Brother Matthew.
The falling, sir.
They both fall. Do you understand? They both fall, listen, away from what the Word of God says. They fall. That means they mess up. The saved mess up. The unsaved mess up. That's something you have in common. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to fall. You're going to mess up when it comes to God's Word. But now, here is the difference between the two. The saved man falls, but he gets back up again.
Amen.
He gets back up. He goes back into he messes up, he backslides, he falls, but he gets back up again. He doesn't stay down. But the wicked, the unjustified man that doesn't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that man, when he falls down, he falls away from his profession of faith. He falls into the muck and the mire and stays down there and plays down there and lives down there. That is the difference. And that is in that verse. And so the name of my sermon tonight is, when you fall, don't stay down. Let me say that again. When you fall, don't stay down. And I'm preaching on that. And number one, I got 3 points. Number one, because you should not plan to fall. Did you hear what I said? I'm talking about the fact you're going to fall. Even if you're a believer, you're going to fall. You're going to sin. But you should not plan tonight to sin on Monday. You should not plan tonight to sin tonight. You should not plan to sin on Tuesday and Wednesday. You should plan to live for God and to walk with God every day. You say, where is that in the Bible? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not. In other words, I'm writing you this letter. I'm the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm writing to you as believers, born again believers. And I'm saying the plan for your life is you should plan not to sin. You should plan and aim at sinless perfection. You say, well, if I aim at sinless perfection, won't I be disappointed? Well, when you aim at a target, you're going to get closer to it by aiming at it.
Right.
If you don't aim at it, you're not going to get even close to it. Yeah, you'll not hit the bullseye of sinless perfection. Nobody will. But you aim at it. So he says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he's saying that we should never plan to fall into sin. But notice that he knows that if and when you fall into sin, he also wrote that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, I'll give an illustration of what I'm talking about. My youngest son, he called me Friday. And I had done some work, and he called me, and he said, and I haven't played golf in I don't know how long, but he said, I'd like to take you out for golf. Can you go out golfing? I said, yeah, we can arrange that. He came over and went to pick me up for golf. He has nice clubs, and I was going to try to get my clubs. I said, no, we can use mine, he said. I want to play best ball. We'll share. You hit the best ball, and I'll play your ball. I hit it, we'll play my ball. And we got 42 and 9 holes. You know, we did pretty good. And so he came over, and I was trying to figure out what shoes I'm going to wear, Brother Jose. And he said, wait a minute, I got you brand new golf shoes. I'd forgotten. I've been so long, you know. And he goes in the closet, he's digging around my closet on the floor, and he pulls out these beautiful white golf shoes. I mean, they are to die for. And they got the cleats on the bottom, just the right kind. I'm like, woo, I'm going to look good. So we're going to put on those white golf shoes. We put on the white golf shoes, you know. I'm looking cool. And we're going out golfing now. And so we get in the car. We go out to Greenfield Township, Sleepy Hollow Golf Course out there. You know that one, Brother Joe? It's out there in Brother Joe's township. So we went out there and went out to play. Now, when I went out there, did I plan to get anything on those shoes? Nothing. I wanted to keep those shoes perfectly white and beautiful. I did not plan to mess them up. This is the first time I got to use them. And we're out there playing golf, and we're going at it, man, and we're having a good time. And then it got to the point where I said, let's go to the clubhouse and take a break after nine holes, because I didn't want to get in a golf cart. I wanted to get the exercise and carry the clubs. And so he's pulling the clubs. I'm walking up these hills, you know, we're doing all that. And I said, let's go take a break at the clubhouse. And so we're going up to the clubhouse, and I'm walking up there just about to the clubhouse, just about got there, cut across the grass, and all of a sudden I stepped into quicksand. I mean quicksand. And it went down, right down in there, and down in the other one. I'm like, and we get trying to get out of that. And I'm there in the hallway of the clubhouse. I didn't go into the club, and I'm trying to clean those shoes off, you know, and get mud on them. Oh, it was a mess. And I got them pretty clean, but it was still mucked up. And we went in there, and we knocked off then, and we were going to get some lunch and figured it out. We got 42. We called it a day. Then we went out and got lunch. But I got home, and I was hosing those things off and trying to get them clean. You see, I didn't plan to get messed up, but I got messed up. And the same thing will happen to you. If any man sin, he said, my little children, I write to you that you don't plan to sin, but if you do sin, there's a way for you to get cleaned up. And so though you should never plan to sin, you're going to fall into the mud. You're going to get your feet dirty. And listen to me, the good news is God has a way to clean you up. Now, I didn't have the best way to clean up there. I had to go in the bathroom. I was trying to get paper towels and wet some and dry some and put them in my and bring them out and try to clean those shoes off. But God's given us a better way to clean up so that you can keep on with walking with God and doing what God wants you to do. So he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what are we supposed to do? We're to aim to stay clean. But if we get into the mud and we get into the muck, God says, I've made a way for you to get clean so you can keep on walking. Or you can keep on playing in the game that we're in as we're competing against the devil and on God's team. Now the problem is, there are people, they don't plan to sin, but when they fall into a sin, now it's over. I'm just frustrated. If I live my life like that, I'm always getting something dirty. I'm always getting something. I did not plan to get my beautiful pink tie and pink shirt messed up. I did not plan. But I went into the restaurant, and we got Penny with us in Chesapeake. And one is 10, and the other is 8. And that guy that's 8, he could be trouble. And we were in there. He's a good kid, but he's a boy. And we got in there, and all of a sudden, I told him, do not take anything out of this restaurant. This is a buffet, and you eat it here. The only thing I'll take, a couple nuts on the way out and pop them in my mouth. That's it. But I'm eating them as I'm going out. But he takes a couple of ice creams and puts it under his hat. And he's walking out under his hat with the ice cream. And he took one of them, and I have a cup holder for my tea, and he put the ice cream not right side up, but upside down in it. And as it gets warmer, I don't have air conditioning in my car now. And as it gets warmer, that's melting and oozing out in the cup holder hole. And I put my cup holder in there, and I'm drinking my drink, and I'm like looking at my tie and shirt, and it is full of this chocolatey messed up ice cream. And all day long, I'm trying to visit, and I'm trying to clean this with my fingers. It was not good. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that as you walk in this world and as you live in this world, you do not plan to mess up your shoes. You do not plan to mess up your tie and your shirt, but it can happen. And if you're me, it happens a lot. Amen? I had a guy one time in our church. He was a deacon in our church, and he looked at me, and he saw how I had trouble with my ties, and I would get them soup on them and stuff like that. He said, "I am thinking of making Scotch Guard tie holder for you and putting that plastic holder right over your tie, you know." And so I'm saying I don't plan to get into trouble, but if you do, you need to clean that up. And I noticed my wife had baptized that tie, and she was, and it's hanging up right now. So there is a way for you to get clean. And you say, "Well, Pastor, how can I aim at not sinning?" You say, "Don't plan to sin. Try to stay out of sin." How can you do that? All right. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, these words. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, what is mercy? Mercy is when you get dirty. Mercy is when you fall into the muck and the mire. Mercy is when you get the dirty ice cream on you, and of sin and of the world. You didn't plan to do it, but it happened. And you need mercy. What's mercy? It means when you mess up, God pities you. And he provides you a way to get cleaned up and to help you. Amen? I don't want to lose that tie. I don't want to lose those shoes. And he helps you. But listen to me. I want grace to help. You say, "Pastor, what's grace?" Grace and mercy. Grace is the power not to fall into the mud. Grace is the power to be protected, Jesse, from the mud and the mire of this world. And so the Bible says, how do you get that grace? And how do you get that mercy? We have a heavenly throne room. It's called the mercy seat. And there on the mercy seat, the blood of Jesus is there. There beside the mercy seat, at the right hand of the Father, is our lawyer, the Lord Jesus. So you got Satan. Can he go up there? Yep. And what's he doing? He's saying, "Jose Gonzalez, look at that. He did that. He did that." So he is the prosecuting attorney. The Father is the judge. He's on the throne. He's the judge sitting on the bench. Well, where's the lawyer? Jesus. And the lawyer comes up when the devil prosecutes Brother Jose or any one of us, and he says, "He's not worthy. Don't give him mercy. Don't give him any grace. He doesn't deserve any mercy. He doesn't deserve any grace." And Jesus said, "Now, wait a minute. I paid for that sin. I am the defense attorney, and that's been paid for. And so in my name, Father, give him grace. Give him mercy." And guess what? No matter how many times Satan goes up there to try to get you to stay down, the Lord is always on your side. And so that is how you get grace and how you get mercy. Now sometimes you don't feel like you deserve mercy, do you? But right when I mess up and right when I'm in sin, I remember I got a high priest there. I got an advocate. He's there to give me mercy. And I go because I want to get that ice cream off real quick. I want to get that mud off real quick. I don't want to stay in the mud. I don't want to be like the wicked and stay down. Amen? I want to get back up. I want to get back in the fight. And so Satan will accuse you to God. And then you know what he'll do? He'll accuse you to yourself. He'll say, "You no good piece of blah, 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 blah." Don't get up. Don't get back in the fight. You're not worthy of it. Just stay away from church. Just stay away from God. Just stay. You're not worthy. You're not good like the other Christians. No, we're all a bunch of crooked people. We're as crooked as a dog's hind leg tonight. But Jesus is straight as an arrow. Amen? And he's our defense attorney. And so you can get mercy. And Jesus said this. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You know why? You go into that place when you just get pulled into the quicksand and it seems it's too strong for you to overcome it. The temptation is too strong. You know why you do that? Because you forgot to watch and pray. You just ran out there and you forgot. And you fall flat on your face. And so if you want to aim at not sinning, watch and pray. If you want to get up quickly after you sin, watch and pray. And so I'm preaching tonight on when you fall, don't stay down. Number one, because you should not plan to fall. But number two, because you should use God's plan to get clean when you fall. I mentioned I had warm water in the clubhouse, got towels, paper towels, and wetted them. I got dry towels, and I started to wash those shoes, and then got home and used the hose and further cleaned the shoes. You might want to check on that, Mrs. But I see her looking, so I just said I'm going to put that in there. But here's the verse. Here's the verse of how you can get clean when you get in the mud and when you get all dirty. This is how you can get clean. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to say something, first of all, about that verse, 1 John 1:9. It is in 1 John, and the purpose of 1 John is to give the birthmarks of somebody that's really born again. It's to show you the characteristics of somebody that's born again so that you can have assurance of your salvation. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. These are the birthmarks of a believer. Well, what is a key birthmark of a true believer as opposed to somebody else? Well, an unbeliever falls into the mud, he doesn't even care about it. When I fell into the mud, I cared to get those shoes clean. But an unbeliever, he doesn't care. He said, this is good. You see, an unbeliever is more like a pig. And you know what a pig does when a pig falls into the mud. They just like swim in it. Oh, that's really great, you know. But a believer can't be at home in the mud, you see. And it's more like a cat. When a cat gets dirty, it's cleaning itself. I see cats all the time. And they're not like pigs. And so a believer is more like... So, the one that is confessing sin and getting clean from sin is a believer. My wife, when she got saved, a guy by the name of Andy Coons and his brother Cam witnessed to her. Andy led her to the Lord, and my wife came up to Andy after she was born again, and she said, Andy, she said, I don't even think I'm saved. And Andy said to my wife, well, why do you say, Kathy, that you're not saved? She said, I just keep sinning, and I sin more, I think, since I've been saved than before I got saved. And Andy said to her, well, listen, Kathy, are you doing any sins now that you didn't do before? She said, not really. And Andy said, well, you're just more aware of them now. Because the light of Jesus Christ is like a light or a flashlight that's showing you the mud and the mire in your life. You see, that's what a person who's born again does. He sees his sin and he confesses that sin, and that's a proof that you're a child of God. So rather than get discouraged when you sin, you should go get the cleansing and realize that that's a proof you're a child of God. Now notice further, it says, if we confess. The word for confess, you know if you've heard me before, is made up of two Greek words translated in our King James Bible, and the two words are homo legeo. Homo legeo. And the word homo, we all know what that is. If it's a homosexual, it's somebody that likes somebody of the same sex, and that's contrary to God's word. Right. homo. And so God is saying homo when it comes to confess. Now, the other word is not only homo, it's legeo. What's legeo? That means to say or to speak. And so you put that with homo, it means that when you sin, you speak and say the same thing about sin that God says. You know, if somebody commits adultery, even in their heart, they don't say, well, I had an affair. That's what the world says. They say, I committed adultery. Somebody gets drunk. I'm being a drunkard, not I have a sickness called alcohol abuse. No, you're a drunkard. You're into that. And so you see, if you want to get clean, you have to acknowledge and say the same thing about your sin that God says. You can't hide it under the rug. You can't turn away from it and act like it isn't there, or you're not going to get clean, you see. And so notice the second phrase in 1 John 1:9 describes the first thing that God does on his part when we say what God says about our sin. We just say to God, look, I did this. I am sorry. I was wrong. And what does the Bible say? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, faithful means that he is faithful to his promises. He promises that if you're the kind of person that confesses sin, and when you confess sin, he's faithful to do what? To forgive. And to cleanse. And he says he does his part. So what do you do on your part? The first thing you do as soon as you fall, you need to go right back to God and confess it. You know, what do the Catholics do? They go to the priest. And they go to the priest maybe the end of the week or the end of the month, and they do what's called confession. And what does the priest do? He says, say five Hail Marys or so many Our Fathers. Does that get the sin clean? No, it does not. That just makes the conscience feel better, but it doesn't really cleanse the sin. What does God say you do? You go to Jesus Christ. He's your priest. Amen. And you don't have to wait till the end of the day. You don't have to wait till the end of the week. You go right now to God as soon as you fall, as soon as you're dirty. And you say, Father, this is what I realize I did in the light of the Word of God. It's sin. You name it and you claim it before God. But then when you do that, you can claim his promise that what does God do? He's faithful to forgive you. What does forgive mean? Forgive means he will not punish you, to reject you, and refuse to have fellowship with you. He will forgive for purposes of fellowship. And I'm not talking now about damnation. I'm talking about forgiveness from defilement, so that you're not defiled by that sin, so you can keep walking with God. Now, some people say, I just feel too guilty. I just sinned. And my wife would see me sin. She said, how can you just get up and walk with God after you mess up? And I said, because he's faithful to forgive. I said also because he's just. What do you mean by just? It means that God will not do something unrighteous. I sin and mess up, and yet I can walk with God. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for that sin. Amen. Jesus Christ was punished for that sin. Yep. So when I'm confessing that sin and I'm naming it, I have to also praise Jesus that he paid for it. And I give him the glory. And I go, listen to me, from self-persecution to Savior praise. And then I know I'm forgiven. I can get back up. I can get walking with God again. And that is exactly what you need to do. And some people, I've heard this illustration. They say, well, I try to walk with God, but then that sin comes back. I've confessed it. I've told the Lord I sinned. I claim that Christ paid for it. But then I feel guilty again, and it keeps me from walking with God. And I compare that
How many of you have ever had a dog that got in the mud and jumped up on you? And that dog would put his paws on you and mark you with his muddy paws. How many have ever had that happen? I've had that happen. And what do you do with that dog? You push him off you. Amen. And if you're smart, you'll push him off you before he gets the mud on you. And you get him off. And so you have, listen, you have to do the same thing with your conscience. Your conscience is saying you're guilty, you can't walk with God, you're dirty. And I say, get off me, muddy dog. I have confessed my sin. God says he's faithful. He's forgiven me of that sin. God says he's just. That sin is paid for. And praise God for that. You say, but what does it mean? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives and cleanses us from the sin we confess. But there's sin that you're doing you don't even know about. There's sin that you're doing that you don't even know enough of the Bible to realize. And God says, as you're confessing the ones you know about, he takes care of the ones that you don't know about. And he cleanses that too. And that's all going on. It's like, you know, when I get my shoes cleaned, I'm getting my back of my pants clean. I didn't even know I'm walking around with dirt. You know, he's cleansing the backside. He's taking care of it all, friends. And so we just need to do what God wants us to do. Confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, number one, when you fall, don't just stay down there, because number one, you should not plan to fall. Number two, because you should use God's plan to get clean whenever you fall. And number three, listen to this, this is the last point, because you should get clean to get back up and walk forward. You see, every one of us is going to sin. We don't plan to sin, but it's going to happen. But the key to being an effective believer is, how do you recover when you do it? I was watching the Yankees before tonight, before coming, and Gerrit Cole was pitching. And Gerrit Cole pitched a pitch, and it went right to the guy, the shortstop for the Yankees. I forgot the new guy, the rookie guy, the shortstop. But the ball stayed low, and it went right under his glove and went right through his legs. And Gerrit Cole had two outs, and I thought, boy, is that going to discourage him? No, he just picked up the player, and he just threw the next pitches, great pitches, got out of the inning, and it was over. He just ignored that error. And you know what? That's what you and I need to do. When we fall and we get dirty, help get the guy back up again. Help restore him. If somebody comes to me and says, so-and-so messed up, I want to help restore him. I said, well, did you go to the person and help him get it back up? Because you want to pick up that player. We're all on the same team, amen? And the effective Christian gets back up and gets right back in the game when you fall. And don't just stay down there now and say, well, I'm dirty, so I'm just going to keep on getting dirty. I'm in the mud now, so I might as well just get in the mud. And I might as well just wallow in it. No, when you do that, you're acting more like an unbeliever. That's not the way that God wants you. And so you need to get up and help others to get back up. Let's say you're playing soccer. And you're going down the field, you know, you pass the ball to another and pass the ball to another. And you're going to shoot a goal, and your teammate suddenly slips and falls on the ground right in the, and has grass stain all over. And what does he do? He's so mad at what he did and how he messed up, he just stays on the ground and said, I'm not going to get back up. What are you going to think about that player? You still have to score a goal. You still need it. Another guy falls down. He said, oh, I'm just going to stay down here. I'm so mad at myself. I'm just going to stay down here. And pretty soon you don't have players playing. And the other team steals the ball. And they take it down the field and they score the goal. That's exactly what Satan wants. But that's not what Jesus Christ wants.
That's not what God wants. God wants you to get back up, to get back in the race, to get back in the game, and to take the game to Satan and to stay with it. And so we need to realize that you should get clean so that you can get back up and take the ball down the field and go forward. And so that's what it says. Now the second part of that verse is, it says, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. A wicked person doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life. A wicked person doesn't have the cleansing of the blood of Christ. The wicked person doesn't have the righteousness of Christ. A wicked person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. And so when they get in that mud, they say, hey, this is where I should be. You know, this is where I'm at home. But if you're a believer, you don't want to stay in that mud. You say, I want to get back to God. I want to get back to walking with God. I want to get back to the people of God. I want to get back to church. I don't want to just fall away from it all and stay in the mud and the mire. That's what unbelievers do. And we don't want to act like unbelievers, walk like unbelievers, talk like unbelievers. And we want to win in the war against Satan. And so you need to get back up. And let me conclude with this. There is a key number in this verse, Proverbs 24:16. Here's the key number. Notice what the verse says again. For a just man falleth how many times?
Seven
times and riseth up again. Remember Jesus said 70 times seven? If your brother sins and hurts you and comes to you, you forgive him 70 times seven. He falls and rises up again. He keeps getting back up. And I heard about a boxer, and he was boxing. And he was getting beat every round and outpointed every round. And it was a 12-round boxing match. And he had lost all 11 rounds on the scorecard. But you know what? The guy wasn't a failure. You know why? Even though he'd been knocked down three times in the fight, he kept getting back up. And you know what? The guy that was beating him got tired in the 12th round. He got tired in the 12th round. This guy had trained. He got back up off the canvas three times. He answered the bell for the 12th round, and he landed a punch and knocked the guy out. Who won the fight? He won the fight. That's what you need to remember. You are not a failure. Even though you've been knocked down, and even though you're behind, you're not a failure unless you quit. Unless you stay down. Unless you take the 10 count. Get back up. Get knocked down. Get back up. Stay in the fight. And who knows what God will do in and through you. Who knows what God will do in and through your church. And I remember Brother Hiles saying that about us and our church. And he appreciated that. That we kept getting up. And kept getting in the battle. And so you keep getting mercy. When you're down, you keep getting mercy. But listen to me. With all your getting mercy, get grace so that now you can actually win in that area where Satan keeps knocking you down. And you can stand and you can go forward and praise God that the righteous man, the saved man, keeps getting back up. So I'm just saying tonight that the believer, you need to get clean and get back up and get back in the game. If you're not a believer, if you're an unbeliever, you've been a pig, you can still be cleansed by Christ. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I got saved and believed in Christ, I got a new nature. Amen. I still have the old nature. The old pig is there. But I got a new nature of a cat. And thank God for that. And Christ will give you that new nature if you but come to him and put your trust in him. Let's bow for prayer tonight. We're talking tonight about Proverbs 24:16, and that scripture says, when you fall, don't stay down. And tonight I want to ask you a question. Have you been one of those that is more at home in the muck and the mire? Have you been one of those that don't have that new nature? And the Lord then is knocking on your door and he's saying, I'll come to cleanse you and cleanse you of damnation and save you from hell and give you a new nature so that you can go to heaven by being born again. If you need that, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand, say, preacher,
I'm one of those wicked ones. I'm one of those that don't have that new nature. I need to be saved. If you're in that place, God is reaching out. Jesus is reaching out. He's offering you a gift. You can come to Him as you are, and He'll save you, and He'll cleanse you. And we'll help you. You can come and say, Pastor, I've trusted Christ. I've been born again. He'll save you, and He'll give you a new nature. But how about those of you that are here tonight, and you've been too often discouraged? You've been too often staying down, or you haven't planned to get grace and to stay clean. And so you've been easily knocked down, and God wants you to plan to stay up. God wants you, when you go down, to be properly cleansed. And God wants you to get back up and stay in the game. You say, Preacher, that's a need in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand right now all over this auditorium? I believe this message then tonight is for you. I'm going to ask that we stand together. And as the invitation is given, if you raise your hand, would you come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, that's me. The preacher called me out tonight. You called me out tonight. But I want to get grace to help. And I want to get mercy so I can get grace. And I want to stay in this game. I don't want to keep staying down and miss days and weeks and even months because I'm staying down and staying in the dirt and staying in the mud. No, I want to be clean. And you can be. Listen to me. You can get up and you can come to church. You can get up and pray. You can get up and you can read the Word. And God will give you the grace. And I want to pray for you right now to do that. So let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, You see us tonight. And You say that we're supposed to watch and pray. And so here we are in the last service of the first day of the week, Lord. We don't know what we're facing, but we know that the world and the flesh and the devil wants us to fall into the mud of sin and wants us to stay down. But Father, I pray that You would help us to avoid the pitfalls, that You would give us grace to avoid it. And when we fall, Lord, give us mercy and help us to get back up and not to stay down. Help us, Lord, to win over Satan and to do the will of God. We don't want to fail to accomplish our course, Lord. So we thank You for the grace that You promised us if we come to You. Help us to get up early, read the Word, pray, and win this coming week. We pray Your blessing on each one that's here, Your protection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Paula, welcome back. Good to see you. Good to see you. Glad you came back. All right. Amen. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
If you were to sin,